Our present sermon series is entitled Our Identity in Christ and Christian Virtue. And the first few messages are about our identity in Jesus. This is a day when people are searching for their identity. And I've encouraged you to think about, who you are and just what your purpose is in life. In fact, the first sermon in this series was called Spiritual Tension. And I talked about how we, the church, are sent out into the world, but the Scripture says, come out from among them. And how we are living in the world, but not of the world, and how it's intended by God that there is this spiritual tension in the world. And I've encouraged you to answer these questions for yourself. How do I define myself? Is it by your career? Is it by your relationships? Is it by where you, are in life and earning a savings for retirement? You know, what would you define yourself? If I'd say, tell me a little bit about yourself. How do I define myself? How will I conduct myself? Why am I here? These are things that all strike toward finding our right identity in Jesus. Now, once we're finished finding that identity in just a couple of ways from the Scripture, we'll move on to Christian virtue. And as I close out this series, we'll be talking about the things that ought to be characteristic of our lives. The overarching question in this whole series is this: why not make it your aim to live and to work to please God? Why not let that be your number one motivator in all that you do? Now, please do not think, and please understand, we don't all need to become preachers to fulfill our identity and find that Christian virtue. If we were all preachers, then how would we get out there? You need to be who you are, where you are, and you need to be standing as, one of God's men, one of God's women. Last week, we spent our message looking at two areas of identification. One the message was called Spoken For and Set Apart. Scripturally, if you are a Christian, you're already taken. You're spoken for. There's a bridegroom. He's coming back for you. You are in the betrothal period. You're already legally married. You already belong to Him. And He's coming again to take you then on to, the consummation of the wedding and then the celebration. And those will be done when He comes again and in heaven. So you need to see yourself. Who am I? Well, I have a bridegroom coming for me. And men, I said, we'll have to do our best to identify with that, the feminine side, to see what it's like to be a bride waiting on the bridegroom to come. And then we said we're set apart. That means we're holy and dedicated. We are dedicated only to the one who's coming again. And we know that as holiness or purity. And so that helps us to say, I'm spoken for. I have a purpose. I'm set apart. And that's to glorify God in all that I do and say. Now today we're moving on to a new picture. And the title is called As Ambassadors. And the oomph today is that you would identify as an official representative of the kingdom of heaven, assigned by God to do so. So we're moving on from being a bride and being holy to becoming an ambassador for Christ. Generally speaking, an ambassador is respected as an official who is acting as a representative of a nation. And an ambassador is sent forth to another land. And the role is to reflect the official position of the sovereign body who gave him authority. And so we begin to think and know a little bit about what an ambassador is, at least in our mind's eye. Now, in the first century, when Paul wrote about being an ambassador, and we'll get to that in just a few moments in 2 Corinthians 5, he says that you are ambassadors for Christ. The Greek word is presbyomen. And it's related to the word presbyter, like where we get the name Presbyterian Church. A presbyter actually is the style of leadership of the Presbyterian Church. It's elder-led. Okay? And so this word refers to as ambassadors. Here's what he means. You are the elders. You are the senior officials. You are the representatives. You are the presbyters of the kingdom of heaven in the name of Christ. And so just put that in your mind. Just like an ambassador might be sent overseas to represent the United States, you are chosen by Christ as a believer to represent His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, while you live here on earth. That is the major push of today's message. Now, in more general terms, an ambassador is seen as one who is in the know and one whom others trust to conduct official transactions. Now, many of you know that I have I consider to be a God assignment to minister not only in the United States, but also in Thailand. And I'd love to go annually. I wish it wasn't so far away. But for over 25 years, we've had a connection in Thailand with Barnabas and Martha Sangsarakum. And in Thailand, there is a U.S. embassy. It is in Bangkok. And in Bangkok, there's a fella. He's an ambassador. His name is Glenn T. Davies. He's been the ambassador in Thailand representing the U.S. government since last October. And at the embassy in Bangkok, there's a mission that takes place, many employees. But here's what the purpose of the U.S. Embassy in Thailand is: to advance the interests of the United States, to serve and protect U.S. citizens in Thailand. The embassy reports and analyzes initiatives, writes policy, engages the government in a broad range of organizations, and promotes the sharing of values. And you could go on and on. But I just want you to see, in reality, see, there's these everyday people who are sent as official representatives of the government of the United States. Now, interestingly, I don't spend much time in Bangkok. We spend our time in and out of Chiang Mai. In Chiang Mai, there's a consulate, which is like the satellite office of the embassy. And I just found out, just this month, I believe it was, the new consulate general, her name is Jennifer Harhai, and she's from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I figure the next time I go, I'm going to say, hey, I'm from Butler. I'd like to try to meet this lady and her husband and her kids to say, isn't that cool that I could really know a real ambassador? Probably. But you see, when I'm in Thailand, it's the embassy, that ambassador, that's looking out for me. Before I ever get there, they put out a note, you know, don't come now because too many mosquitoes. Don't come now because there's uprising. Don't come now, you know, so they look out for my interests. And they make sure I have the right, you know, paperwork and everything filed. And if I get lost, they'll know and they'll come looking for me. But not only do they do that, they also promote, you know, goodwill within the country. Interestingly, one time when we were in Thailand, I don't remember if it was the 4th of July or maybe it was Thanksgiving, but at the embassy, they celebrated the American holiday just like Americans do. And that's one of the things that an embassy does. It brings the customs and the honor of their own country into that foreign land. So I just want you to start thinking, if that's what an ambassador does, and I'm called to be an ambassador from the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of earth, how does that work for me? By the way, I want to put a little advertisement in. Barnabas and Martha from Thailand will be coming here to the U.S. in October. And from late October to late November, they'll be with us here at North Street Church. And they'll speak here one time. They'll speak at Harvest Bible Chapel in Pittsburgh. They'll speak at the Titusville Church of Christ in Titusville. And Kathy's actually going to take them to Colorado to speak to the St. Paul's Community Church out there. Here's the ad. I need $2,000 or $3,000 to help get them here and get around while they're here. The Chinese church in Cincinnati has paid one round-trip airfare, and I spoke for the other one. And we'll get it done somehow. But if God touches your heart to say, hey, I'll help out, please let me know, because we could use that. Well, I want to share with you five things that ambassadors do. This is everyday ambassadors, sort of a review of what I've said. An ambassador is appointed and sent to represent his or her own country. Emphasize, they're appointed and sent. The President of the United States says to a person, you would make a good ambassador. And they send them into that other country. Secondly, an ambassador lives in a foreign land, but as a citizen of his homeland. They don't change citizenship. They don't really have dual citizenship, but they live in that country with authority. But they're citizens of another country. And when you do that, when you live in another country but keep your citizenship in your home country, you're known there as an expatriate. Now, it doesn't mean you quit being patriotic. It just means you're living outside of your territory where you're originally from. Thirdly, an ambassador is not his, her, her own authority. This becomes very important when we apply our spiritual ambassadorship. Somebody who's an ambassador in another country doesn't make up the rules. They know what the rules are. That's part of their job. And they make sure things are in compliance. And so they have full authority, but full authority because they are under the authority of the one who sent them. Fourthly, an ambassador serves other expatriates, other people who are there, who are not home, but they're citizens of home, and they promote goodwill toward the citizens of the land in which he serves. And just think about how that might apply to you or me. How we do serve one another in love, right? And we're citizens of another place, heaven. And we also promote the goodwill of the kingdom toward those who aren't from the same place. And then fifthly, an ambassador brings the honor and customs of his home country to the foreign land in which he or she serves. That's sort of an extra thing that they do so people can understand each other in a better fashion and appreciate each other. So I ask you to open your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's keep those things briefly in mind and let's go to the text. We'll be reading verses 16 to 21. This happens to be the same text for the whole series, the prime text for the series. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 16. Paul says this, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh." He says, we've changed. "Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And that will be the major text for next week's sermon. Now, he says in verse 18, "Now all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself, and He gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Now, Paul is speaking about himself as an apostle and those who would be leaders with him, but he's transferring this very ministry to every believer in this passage. And so he gave to Paul the ministry of reconciliation, and he gave to the believer the ministry of reconciliation. Here's the point. If you are redeemed in Christ, you are reconciled with God. Things have been made right between you and God through Christ. And now you have the responsibility of the ministry of reconciliation, not just telling people, but bringing people into right relationship with God through the same. Now he says, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. I don't know how many of you reconcile your checkbook any longer. I don't know how many of you have a checkbook. I write about one check a week, and that's normally for my offering. The rest I pay online, and I don't reconcile my checkbook. I look at what the bank says I have about three times a day, and it makes sense to me, so that's my reconciliation. Could be dangerous, but when I couldn't look at it daily, I did reconcile my checkbook. That means to make sure everything you knew that you got as income and everything you knew that you put out as an expense balance. You know where you stand. And that's what Paul says. You didn't used to know where you stood with God. In fact, because of the sin of the world, you were not reconciled to Him. Now, through Christ, you have been reconciled, and He's entrusted you the same message. Then look at verse 20. "Therefore, since God has reconciled us through Christ and entrusted to us the message of reconciliation, therefore we are His ambassadors." We have become His official representatives. We are those senior officials. We are the ones who are in the know. And we are the ones who know how to make the process work. That's what he says. We are now ambassadors for Christ. Now talk about identity. See, one of the hard things, like in AA or NA, any of the 12-step programs, if you've ever been to a meeting, you know, it starts like, "Hi, I'm Bob and I'm an addict. Hi, Bob, and I'm an alcoholic." Well, that's sort of your identity then. And I'm not saying that people don't need to realize that. They do. They need to understand what they would become. But in Christ, we become new creations, see? And so, even as Christians, we need to be careful. You know, you're not that woman who lost her virginity when she was a teenager. You're new in Christ. You're not that man who, you know, used to beat his wife. You're new in Christ. You're not the person who flunked out of school. You're not the person who went bankrupt. You're not the person who tried and failed. You are a new creation in Christ. And Paul says, listen, here, you are this official representative. Now, I'm not sure why I wore a tie today. Maybe because I'm an ambassador. I don't know. If I was really one in another country, maybe I'd have to wear a suit all the time. But somebody said, why'd you wear a tie today? And I said, so people would ask why I wore a tie. I just wanted to be different. I mean, when Jake was here, he'd pierce his ears and get tattoos. And this is a lot easier. I can put it on and take it off, you know, just to be different. But all I'm saying is, you know, for an older person, they might think, well, if I'm an ambassador, I really need to dress the part. For a younger person, they may not think that way. And what I'm saying is, we always remember what God said. He says, you know, through Samuel, God looks at the heart, not the outward appearance. So we're not necessarily talking about, you know, we're not talking about dressing a certain way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm simply saying we now see ourselves as, I'm one of the guys God sent. I'm one of the guys God trusts. And that's you, just like it's me. We are the ambassadors for Christ. And look at that. God making His appeal through us. Now that one makes me swallow hard. That means on a bad day, people are watching me, and God's still making His appeal through me. And I'm saying, boy, I don't think the message got through very clear today. Isn't that good for us? And He says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now get this. The apostle's saying this to the church. And he's passing the torch to the church. And he's saying, look, everybody. Look, sir. Look, ma'am. My plea is, be reconciled to God. You've got to know this. And then he says in verse 21, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. I don't have a sermon on the righteousness of God, but there's another picture of identity in Christ for you. We were unrighteous. We were identified by our sinfulness. We were stiff-necked and hard-hearted people. That's what the Scripture says. And now we become the ambassadors for Jesus. So just as I had five, you know, descriptions of what an ambassador does, I want to share, this would be the meat of the message today, five characteristics of spiritual ambassadors. The first one is this: every Christian is an ambassador in Christ. Do you know in the New Testament there is no clergy-laity system pictured? There are no reverends up front. It says that we all belong as believers to the priesthood, you see, of believers. Jesus Christ has become the great high priest. No longer, like in the Old Testament, if I sinned, I took my sacrifice to the priest. He made atonement and represented me up to God. Well, our great high priest went into the Holy of Holies once for all, ascended into heaven, and now we go directly to Him. So I want you to know that I am an ambassador, but not by virtue of being a preacher, by virtue of being a believer in Jesus Christ. Hey, I want you to take your news sheet, if you have it there, and look on the back page for the article that I wrote, and we're going to read the third paragraph. And I intentionally put this in so you could take it home today, because this is something I think you ought to really strive to get. And this talks about our genuine conversion. This talks about how God has worked in our lives. And I also want to say, a lot of times you're reading your news sheet when I'm preaching and I want you to stop. This is one time I want you to read your news sheet while I'm preaching. Third paragraph. Paul Tripp said this. He says, if my heart is the source of my sin problem, then lasting change must always travel through the pathway of my heart. It's not enough to alter my behavior or change my circumstances. Christ transforms people by radically changing their hearts. If the heart doesn't change, the person's words and behavior may change temporarily because of an external pressure or incentive, but when the pressure or incentive is removed, the change will disappear. And this is how we step in and out of our ambassadorship. Because when we treat God like, you know, kids might treat their parents at Christmas for the incentive, I'll be really good if. You ever do that with God? See, an ambassador doesn't think that way. Or I'll be really good if I don't get that punishment, you know. Please, 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 please. And I think we do that with God sometimes to say, I'm going to straighten up now. And as soon as the blessing starts to come, then the behavior goes right back to what it was like. And, you know, that's like the Israelites in the wilderness. Just look at their lives. It's so cyclical. Every time they had God's blessing, they made idols, they went back to their old ways, they complained, they, you know, rebelled against their leader, all that. And then God started, you know, cranking down everything, and it hurts and it hurts, and they're like, okay, we get it. You're the only God, we'll worship you. And they start to live right. And then He starts giving the blessings back. And they come, and then they think it's all about them. And then they've got to go through it all again. And we shouldn't be embarrassed. We need to know that's the nature of people. Just like I said, we're hard-hearted and stiff-necked, like runaway horses who are calloused in the heart, who continue to go back to our old ways. But I want to say, see, as ambassadors, it's not that we're past that, but we're aware of that. God doesn't need to convert us if we're already converted. Now listen, I honestly believe after nearly 40 years of preaching that most people in the Western church evaluate a message as to whether they liked it or not, whether they believe it or not, and oftentimes find a counterverse to disprove what was trying to be pointed out so they don't have to obey. And you always leave, never having made up your mind. And it's an excuse for disobedience. And I just think, you know, every Christian as an ambassador means you have made up your mind. You know who you represent. And your obedience is from the heart. Not because it hurts or because you want a blessing, like the kid at Christmas. And so understand that every Christian is an ambassador of Christ. And with that, I want you to understand that not every Christian is a good ambassador for Christ. You've heard the saying, you're the only Bible some people will ever read. And that's not an excuse for them not to read the Bible, but that's the truth. To say, oh, you're a preacher, are you? Well, I better be an ambassador that represents Him well. You better be an ambassador that represents Him well. So understand, every Christian is an ambassador of Christ. Secondly, as Christ's ambassadors, we live in the kingdom of this world while having citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. See, we don't go to a foreign country. We understand from the Scripture we are already aliens. That's what the book of Peter says. We don't belong here. We're sojourners on this earth. Our citizenship as Christians is in heaven. And while we journey on this earth, we are but strangers here. And so expanding that or explaining that a little, I'm saying this, as Christ's ambassadors, we live in the kingdom of this world, of which we are not citizens. And as Christ's ambassadors, we represent the kingdom of heaven, of which we are citizens. Just like that Thai ambassador, or that general consulate general there, he or she, you see, lives there, but is a citizen of here, representing here. And we're saying we've tasted of the heavenly. We now belong to Christ. And as an ambassador, my goal is to help others understand they can transfer citizenship, to know that this place is not our home. No one will live physically forever. Now, in the beginning of the chapter that we're looking at today, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 11, Paul talks a little bit about our citizenship in heaven. And in 2 Corinthians 5:1, he says, for we know that if this tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so Paul says, this place isn't our home. In fact, while we sojourn here, we're just camping out. We're just living in a canvas tent. Now, whether he means the very body or the whole earth, I do not know. But it's the same power. It's the same illustration to say, this isn't it, folks. The reality of life is yet to come. Now, I've got to tell you, several years ago in studying about heaven, I got really turned on when my study led me to really magnify the truth that the present heaven and the eternal heaven are not exactly the same. And a lot of people don't understand or know this. But when a person dies, according to 2 Corinthians 5, there you can just read a little further and find it. If you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord as a believer. And Paul says, we'd rather be absent so we can be present. But the Scripture says, when you die, a believer immediately goes to be with God in the present heaven. And their spirit dwells there. Okay? But one day, when the rapture of the church is called forth, the body will be reunited with the spirit. That's probably not new news. But, you know, during that tribulation period on earth, there will be a judgment of reward for believers, and there'll be the wedding feast. And then believers will come back with Jesus to the earth for the battle of Armageddon, be victorious, live 1,000 years on the earth, and then Satan, who had been bound, will be unleashed, finally destroyed, and then all the present earth and the present heavens will be burned up. Remember, in Noah's day, God promised He'd never flood the whole earth again. The earth is reserved for destruction by fire. And the heavens, the atmosphere above, okay, where the birds fly and outer space, that's all going to burn up. And then it's all going to be made new. And there's going to be new heavens and a new earth, and the new Jerusalem, of which Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, is going to come down out of the sky. Those are going to become the dwelling place of eternity forever for God and His people. And He'll walk amongst His people again. And it'll be much like it is today. And here's what I said when I preached on it. It'll be physical, but glorious. It'll be the same, but different. That's the best I could get. To say, this is just a taste. Maybe you remember way back then, This is probably, in my whole ministry, the best original illustration I ever came up with. Thinking about heaven and the eternal state of things, and that this earth is fallen and broken. See, that's my point. We live on the broken model. It's sort of like it, but this isn't really it, because this one broke. I feel like a 4 or 5 year old kid that goes to his grandpa's house on Sunday afternoon. And every Sunday when he goes down through the high weeds up next to the barn, there's this old pickup truck. And that kid gets down there and he wades through the weeds or up over his head. And he gets up in that truck and he stands on the seat. And he drives that truck to California and back every Sunday afternoon in his mind's eye. And he thinks, one day I'm going to get a real truck. And I'm going to get on a real road, and watch me then. And that's, I think, how we should anticipate the ultimate heaven, that we're dealing with the fallenness, the brokenness, the ugliness, because it's all cursed with sin. That's why the book of Romans says that the earth is groaning. See, just like we're groaning for restoration, for complete reconciliation. And so I just want you to understand that Paul says our earthly home is but a canvas tent. The eternal one is the building that God has prepared. If you looked at that passage in 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 6. He says, so we are always of good courage. I need to hear that. I'm not always of good courage. I'm always of courage, pretty much, but it's not always good. You would think I'm a reluctant servant sometimes. But he says, we're of good courage because we know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. And here's the key, verse 7. It applies in many ways. He says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. And so I want you to know that as ambassadors, it can be tough. It may not always be that everybody wants to hear what we have to say or what our home country thinks is right. you see. Then verse 11, look at that at verse 11. I think that's key. He says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. I'm guessing that one of the reasons we don't do much persuading is because we don't have much fear. I think lots of people that go to church really don't want to know all about God or God's will. We want the benefit, you see, but we don't want to really put ourselves in the presence of bowing down and saying the things that are even hard to say. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:11 there, he says, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it's known also to your conscience. He's saying, as an apostle, I'm what you see. And I hope you can see that, because God sees that and God knows what you're made of too. Now thirdly, as Christ's ambassadors, we must abide by the authority already established in and by Christ. And when I say that, I want you to understand that as ambassadors, we have authority, but we don't make up the message. Just like the Thai ambassador does not change the policies of the United States, he or she abides by them. We do not change the message of the Scripture or what Christ has said to be true. The Scripture says there is one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And that message is the message that we are to proclaim. And when we think of abiding, I think of His Word, I think of His church, I think of His presence, His Holy Spirit. These are the things that we respond to as ambassadors. See, the Word of God does not change. It's powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. It's living. It's good for doctrine and correction and reproof and for right teaching. And see, the Word is the Word. Now, I want to remind you, the Bible is not what we worship. God is who we worship. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But His Word is authoritative and trustworthy. And it is the same through the ages. Just like God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His church, He decided ahead of time, this will be the vessel, the vehicle by which I'll send out my ambassadors into the world so that the world may hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, see, lots of churches can get those two things down. We like lists. We like 1-2-3s and ABCs. We like to go to conferences and fill out notebooks. But see, there's also that still small voice, the direction of God. Sometimes, I mean, He tells us all to do the same thing. The Holy Spirit is never out of step with God or God's Word. But sometimes in our heart, He calls us to special assignment. And sometimes people like us are sort of reluctant to say we even heard the call or to follow through with the call. But see, sometimes, men, as an ambassador, you need to do a better job leading your home. You need to say, my family doesn't do this anymore. My family's going to begin to do this. That's part of your ambassadorship. And ladies, sometimes you're called to perhaps say to a friend, I don't want to talk like that anymore. Or, you know, look, we need to begin, however it might be, but listen to God as He speaks to your heart. I have a statement I want to make. It concerns our times and our community. And as an ambassador, I feel responsible to share it with you today. And it concerns a city council proposed ordinance that could take place this week. And I'm going to read that so there's no confusion. In this city is a proposed ordinance which will ultimately be referred to as the City of Butler Human Relations Authority. The establishment of such may be voted upon by City Council as early as this coming Thursday, August 25th. The proposed is presently and typically referred to as an anti-discrimination ordinance. If passed as written, the anti-discrimination ordinance will open the door to effect discrimination upon those who hold to a traditional Judeo-Christian ethic towards sexuality and sexual purity. If passed as written, the ordinance will affect the church in hiring practices and Christian schools in hiring and acceptance practices. In addition, the public accommodation emphasis of the ordinance of the bill could lead to the passing of a bathroom bill for all buildings, whether privately owned or publicly owned. And the ordinance will open the door to possible censorship of biblical teaching in and out of the church and in and of the Christian school, a government-prescribed definition of marriage, and prescribed enforced practices of officiating of weddings may well follow. Now, that's my summary and my opinion, and I have spoken to City Council, and I feel that's my responsibility as an ambassador of Jesus Christ to let them know that I think what is good in some points. Of course, no one should be discriminated against in harsh ways, okay? But we also need to make sure when we're opening that door that we're not discriminating against others. And if you live in the city, I'd encourage you to go to the city council meeting this Thursday just to be present. And if you want to speak, you can file a paper with city council, but it may be too late to do that. I'm not sure. But I just want you to know, I feel as an ambassador, you need to know. And as ambassador of Christ, we need to understand our ambassadorship also includes things such as this. Fourthly, as Christ's ambassadors, we represent Christ in such a way that His name is respected and honored by all. If you were sent to a foreign country as an ambassador of the U.S., and you spoke against the president, and you spoke against our military, and you spoke against our economic policies, and all you did was gripe and complain, I don't think you'd be an ambassador for very long. And people would not think highly of the United States. Now, none of us probably agree with all things, and it's a time of stirring up right now, and I'm not saying we have to just all shut our mouth and say it's okay, but I am saying, as an ambassador, we have an official responsibility. And as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, we are there to bring honor to His name and bring respect to His name. That's why the Scripture would say, speak the truth in love. Lots of conservative evangelicals like us hear the first part, speak the truth. They don't hear the second part, in love. And lots of more liberal Christians hear the in love part, but don't speak the truth. And I'm always amazed that John, in John chapter 1, says that Jesus was full of, anybody remember? What? Grace and truth. He wasn't 50% grace and 50% truth. He was, just like He was all human and all divine, He was full of all grace and all truth at the same time. That's hard to comprehend, but you see, the church and God's people, we are to always speak the truth in love. We're to be full of grace and truth in such a way that it honors the Lord's name. Now, in this kingdom, as ambassadors for Christ, the honor in the customs. See, like I said, when we were in Thailand, they have the U.S. 4th of July at the consulate. In this world that's not our home, we have certain customs. And the very custom of honoring Jesus as Lord of all is really different. I want you to understand that you don't make Jesus Savior and then make Him Lord. I think that's how lots of people see it. That first I accept Him as my Savior and then I turn this part of my life, this part, and then He becomes the Lord of my life. Even if we're not on this earth, He is already the Lord of all. Jesus Christ is the Lord of history. He's the Lord of geography. He's the Lord of the times. He's the Lord of the animals. He's the Lord of the weather. He's the Lord over all. Already. And so as ambassadors, we think sort of in a goofy way for the world. Because the world says, wait, you're telling me Jesus is the master of your life over what you watch on TV and how you spend your money? We say, yeah, that makes sense to me. It makes no sense to me. You're telling me that Jesus is the master over, you know, your thought life and how you drive your car? Yeah, that's how I think. And they can't get it because they don't understand He's Lord of all. So you have to understand, as an ambassador, you don't quite add up to the people who aren't redeemed. And that's okay because He is the Lord of all and the Savior of those who believe. Now on this Lordship thing, in the church, see, at the embassy, so to speak, when people come, they see there's a big bathtub up there behind those arches, and we dunk people in it. Like, what is that about? And the Scripture would teach, upon believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and putting your faith in Him, it's what we do. It's what the Bible says to do. It's the orders from headquarters. And baptizo means to immerse. Some of you might know that, but we here, somebody stands up and a preacher or whoever led them to the Lord's beside them, and we lay them down in the water. Romans 6 says you're buried, and you're raised up to walk in the newness of life, just like Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. God thought of that. And that's one of the customs of the church. That's not of the world. And then this Lord's table. Every week, we take time to have one of these, you see, foreign customs. To say, we're remembering the name of Jesus. And when we eat the bread, we're remembering Him dying on the cross. That's His body. And when we drink the juice, we're remembering His shed blood for our sin. Weekly. And it's historical. It looks back to the Last Supper. It's present. We call it communion. We believe that we commune with... It's your private time with the Lord, is how I look at it. A time for you to come forward without coming forward. To say, Lord, you know what? I'm starting over again. For me, because I was raised Catholic and was an altar boy, I remember walking to the confessional by myself every Saturday, heavily burdened, and walking home like I lost 100 pounds because I confessed my sins and I felt free. And I think the table does the same thing. You don't come to me, you go to the Lord. And it's time when you personally worship before the Lord and say, Lord, this is it. It didn't mean you got unsaved and resaved. It just means you're still sitting at the table of the bridegroom. This is like the rehearsal dinner for the great wedding feast. See? And that's, as ambassadors, we keep that going. And then lastly today, as Christ ambassadors, we must speak the approved message of the kingdom. This isn't... one of our kids was headed to school. I think she's sitting right there, Charity, and asked me about a church in Slippery Rock, and I'm working on it. But anyhow, I said, there's a Unitarian church there. I said, you probably don't want to go. They might have a talk on, you know, how 9-volt batteries discharge. Or they might have a talk on, you know, the ecology or the water cycle. You know, and that's not the message of the ambassador of Christ. The message of Christ is the message of reconciliation. That's what he said. The primary message is the story of Jesus. The primary message of the Bible is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of reconciliation was always on Paul's heart, preaching. And this must be true for us. See, Paul was redeemed and he knew it because he hated the church. He was arresting Christians. He couldn't stand the way. He didn't like the message of Jesus. And God got a hold of him and just changed him from the inside out. And he was so stuck on the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 1, he said, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Paul wasn't opposed to baptism. He was saying, "My primary call is to preach the cross." Simply put, our reconciliation with God is possible only because Christ went to the cross and received the punishment due for our sin. And when our Savior cried out, "It is finished," the barrier between sinful man and the holy God was removed. Colossians 1 says this, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant." See, we were all there. We were all alienated. We were all separated from God. And the message of reconciliation is, come to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, then He says, now, don't just go tell everybody. Go work out the ministry of reconciliation. Be a reconciler. Be that ambassador. Our reconciliation is based on the salvation Jesus provides. It's accepted by faith. The centerpiece of all Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." But the next verse says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." That's your message, Mr. Ambassador, Miss Ambassador, Mrs. Ambassador. So this has never changed. The ambassador's appeal is be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. That's a part of your primary identity. See. Now listen to this from Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Paul, while in prison, he says, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." And I think, now that's an ambassador. That's a sold out ambassador. How did he identify at that point in his life? Like, hey, I was this Jewish bad dude that went around killing Christians, and God got a hold of me, and I became the number one missionary in the world, and look what it got me. This sucks. I'm a prisoner. That's not what he said. He said, now I have more opportunity. I'm an ambassador. Pray that I can fearlessly proclaim the gospel. Now, his prison, part of the time, he was a prisoner of the city, not in the jail. So he had a chance to preach. Remember what he said to Timothy, his junior ambassador? He said, "Son, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Tell them even when they don't want to hear." That's what he said. "Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge the duties of your ministry." And we live now in a day where we're seeing that to come to fulfillment, where people don't want to hear the message of the ambassador. They don't want to hear the approved message. They want to change the message. You see. So just understand this. He is making His appeal through you. And I'm asking, is the message being clearly communicated? It's something like this. As His ambassadors, we have been approved by God and trusted with the gospel. We live in this world, yet we represent another kingdom. It's our responsibility to reflect the official position of heaven. As God's ambassadors, we are to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 10. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We must take the message of the King to the ends of the earth, imploring men and women everywhere to be reconciled to God. Almighty Father, we thank You for these pictures and realities in the Scripture. And many people these days are wandering around not knowing who they are. And it seems to me that even in the church we all flip-flop a lot. One time we're this and one time we're that. But for sure, these things never change. And I thank You that You've spoken for us already, that You've set us apart for holy use, and Father, that You have called us and appointed us to be Your ambassadors. Speak through Your Word and Your Spirit to our hearts, that we may serve You faithfully each day. In Jesus' name, amen.